One question here is, given these times, how do you feel is the best way to assist the modern world to clear the veils of the obscuring factors of their primordial Buddha nature without the in-depth practices of Munro, etc.?
Well. Should I reply or you want to reply, Karma?
I think you should respond to that,
Okay. Well, there are two kinds of questions in that. I mean, two levels. One is purely Dharma. And I think clearly, 100 times, we need, I must emphasize because of what my teacher said, we need to definitely, do all we can to practice the preliminaries. And some teachers think the main practice is profound. We think that the preliminaries are profound. And without that, then we risk to fall into people who have very high view and that cannot deal with daily life circumstances. I remember someone came to see Ramjan Rinpoche. He came from a center. He said, I'm only interested in great perfection. I don't want to hear anything else. I said, okay. And then he started complaining about everybody. Oh, those people are impossible and this and that. And Rinpoche told him, but can't you practice a little bit longjong mind training? Oh no, that's very difficult. So we thought, well, this guy can chew stones, he cannot chew butter. So that's why also all the great teachers said we must practice Mundo. And I remember one of the closest disciples of Dvogchen Rinpoche, Sankara Rinpoche. He was a Drupakagyu Lama, but also very close student from Kensei Rinpoche, one of his best, because we thought he was, in terms of practice, perhaps his. He said once it was one of his really best students. So he did 15 times the Hundo over 12 years. And once someone wanted to invite him to South America, our friend Geraldo, and he told him, maybe I should do a few more Hundo before traveling. So that shows, and this was such a good example of a perfect practitioner. And now in terms of the trouble of the world, this completely different dimension, then I think altruism is the only concept that can make us rise to the challenges of our times. And very, very briefly, I'll tell you why. If I may say, not again, I have a magic solution, but so many years of running around and meeting people from all walks of life. We have a problem reconciling three time scale, the short-term needs. The mother needs to feed her kids in Africa tomorrow, or the investors who play the stock market day after day and look at the balance sheet at the end of the month. So that's the short term. And then we have a very selfish economy, which what we see every day. And then there's the midterm, the quality of life, how we can flourish within a lifetime. And now there's a new dimension, is that the activity of human beings are vastly impacting the future suffering and happiness of others. 12,000 years ago, we were 5 million, now we are 7 billion, and we are the main factor. So selfishness will not do the job. If you maximize your personal interest now, it's just this selfish, competition and so forth. So it will be poverty in the midst of plenty and damaging the planet and so forth. So if you want to sit around the table, have investors, social workers, politicians, scientists of the environment, and have one concept that can help us to build up a better world. The only one that works is having more consideration for others. If you do so, you will remedy to social injustice, you will remedy to poverty in the midst of plenty. You will have an economy that is based on solidarity, that is at the service of society. You will provide, like the GNH in Bhutan, Gross National Happiness, the condition for people to flourish. You will put that at the forefront. If a nation is the most powerful and the richest and everybody is unhappy, what's the point? So we must put the well-being of the citizen forefront. And then we must value the well-being of future generation and of 8 million other species who are populating this earth as our co-citizen. And I'll give you one number about that. We evaluate the number of Homo sapiens who ever lived on earth. It's not big. It's around 110 billion, because again, 10,000 years ago, we were just a few million on Earth, no big deal. So 110 or 20 billion, that's the number of animals that we kill every 2 months for our so-called needs. For that, there's a huge incoherence in the ethical system. So all that, only compassion and altruism can solve those issues. No other way. Selfishness will not do the job. You know, sometimes I joke that I'm a Marxist, but I'm the Groucho Marx tendency. Groucho Marx said, why should I care for future generation? What do they do for me? Well, unfortunately, that's what many politicians and, you know, people are telling now. They don't care about future generation. They don't care about the environment. So that's not acceptable. So that's why this is, you know, in line with the secular ethics of the Dalai Lama. This is in line that is our basic goodness. This is in line with our potential to do something. This is in line to enact compassion in action. So that's why we founded, you know, the very modest contribution, this association called Karuna Sechen in India, Nepal, and Tibet, that now helps 350,000 people every year in the field of education, you know, health and social welfare. So we do what we can to alleviate the suffering of others, but that's a must. Compassion without action is sterile. Compassion without wisdom is blind, but if you don't do anything, then it's just words.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Matthew on this. I think Nyandro is a wonderful practice, a wonderful system for those who want to pursue a very serious, dedicated Vajrayana practice. But I think in the real world, a lot of people are busy. They have their own priorities. So if one can't do a very systematic Nyandro practice, one could certainly focus on a specific practice and be an expert in that. And we have, for instance, I think, if I remember correctly, when King Prasenjit approached the Buddha for a concise practice, the Buddha told him that as a king, he wouldn't have time for many things, but there's one thing he could do, and that's loving kindness. And we have—
Yeah, there's always time for good heart. You know, as it's only a Dalai Lama interpreter, you know, sometime at the end of a conference, he said, you know, I might have said something. If you think it's useful, use it. Otherwise, drop it. But one thing, please try have a good heart. So that sounds very simple, maybe too simplistic. But in fact, that's all we need. Good heart, you know, laksam. And this leads to bodhicitta if we can. But at least don't harm. And if you can't do much good, don't harm, please.
Yes, a good heart that is also practically engaged and active. So I think, yes, as Matthew pointed out, engaged compassion is what the world calls for right now.